Like, that's you guys. Like, you guys are beautiful, eh? And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, he loves you down to your core. Like, God loves everything about you. And one of my favorite things about God is that he knows our heart. God knows our heart. God sees into the depth of who we are. These last couple of weeks as we've been journeying through 1 Kings have been really transformative, incredible. We're going to continue on in our readings of 1 Kings today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. That's where we'll start in just a few moments. 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21, if you have your Bibles. But yeah, I'm so thankful that God has called us into this place together, that he knows who we truly are. And as a part of Kanata Life Center, that's what we're running after, right? We're running after this deep desire to have a better understanding of why God has called us to this place, why God has placed you in the neighborhood that he's placed you in. You may think that you got a great deal on that house, but God has other things in store, amen? Come on, God has things in store for those neighborhood students today, whatever high school that you're a part of, wherever it is that you're planning to go for college and university. It isn't just to get good marks and get out. God has a purpose for that place, and he is surrounding us every single day. He's surrounding us every day with people who don't know him yet, and that's for a purpose as well. Lily gave that incredible challenge this morning, for that reminder that it is our call, it is our commission to go and spread the gospel. How many of you have Jesus in your heart today? Can you just wave at me real quick? Come on, you got Jesus in your heart. That's awesome. Now give him away. Like, that's your job, right? As we come in this morning, it's not so that we can leave feeling better. Amen? It's so that we can be reminded this morning of everything that God is doing, so that we can dive deeper into his word, so that we can be better equipped to step back into a world that doesn't know him yet. This is our call, that until the day that we see Jesus face to face, that we would have his name on our tongues, that we would hunger and thirst for one more opportunity to tell someone about who he is. That no matter the storms and the attacks, no matter what it is, you know, we'll eventually get into the story of Job, that no matter what it is that the enemy tries to bring against us, if Jesus is for us, who can be against us? This is the desire of our heart, not to fall so head over heels in love with this world that we forget who it is that God has called us to be. You're more than a paycheck. You're more than a bank statement. Church, you're more than a new car or a car that barely works at all. You are saved and set free by Jesus, the Son of the Merciful One. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You are cherished. You are prized. God places a crown on your head, and it is our job to take that crown that he places on our head and say, "No, God, these are your crowns. I lay them at your feet. Wherever it is that you call me, whatever it is that you would have me do, God, I lay these things at your feet." This is the heart cry of Life Center. And if you're here and you're a part of Kanata, we would love to know your story more. In just a few weeks, on March 23rd, we're going to have this incredible opportunity during our second service with something that we just started back in September, an incredible opportunity for you called Planted. If you are a part of this church and you have not taken our Planted course yet, I want to encourage you at the end of this service, don't get your phones out yet, because I can't see all of your faces, but I do like to see the direction of your eyes pointed this way. That's great. But I would love to see it at the end of this service. If you haven't taken Planted yet, maybe you've been with us for a few weeks, 6 months, a year, and you've really decided Life Center is my church, the first step that we would ask you to take is to jump into Planted. It's an opportunity for you to get to know the church more, some of its history, but for also for us to really just in that small group format to dive deeper into your own story. And so we'll be doing that second service, 10:45 service. Usually, I think right now we're running it right here over in the team room. So you can go ahead over to lifecenter.org/events and sign up for Planted today, because we are only going to be able to fully understand what God has placed us here in Kanata for as we get to know each and every one of you better. God is so good. And he knows our heart. Last week, we looked at Elijah, and we talked about how Elijah was an individual who trusted in the Lord. And trust can be so hard, but I'm thankful that we're able to walk through God's word together and really dig into these incredible characters, these incredible historical figures, and see how they trusted in the Lord in really difficult times, and yet where their heart was, God was also. And this week, we're going to continue on in our Heart Strong series in season 5, talking this morning about Elisha, the individual who would follow up in Elijah's journey. And Elisha is somebody whose name literally means God saves. Come on. God saves. Elijah's name actually meant Yahweh is God. And we saw in his journey as he went about the kingdom of Israel that he was spreading that news that there is no God like Yahweh. And now he appoints and he will have this individual, Elisha, follow in his footsteps. And Elisha, not only in his ministry, but through his very character, will exclaim, God saves. Church, how many of you are thankful today that God is the one who sets the captive free? That because of him, all of our sins are forgiven. How many of you are thankful today that he knows your heart? We talked about King David. How King David was a man after the Lord's own heart. And we talked about different things that King David walked through that really wouldn't always look exactly the way that God wanted him to look. But at church, if you haven't already, I encourage you, just get a little sneak peek into what the next few seasons of Heart Strong will bring. You can dive into the Psalms and you'll see King David's heart poured out in word, right? These incredible songs and poems that are written in very difficult circumstances, but they proclaim the great of who God is. And I am here today to encourage you that no matter what it is that's happening, no matter what it is that's going on, that you can proclaim with your mouth, even when your heart isn't feeling it, who God is. Because he knows the depth of who you are, where it is that you're leaning, who it is that you're hungry for. There's not a lot in my life that I won't tackle and won't eat. I was just talking to my incredible mother-in-law this week, and she was offering just a couple of different snacks. She said, would you eat this? Would you eat that? And I had the opportunity to look her straight in the eyes and say, there's not much that I won't eat. And it's a gift. It's a gift. But the one thing that gets me every time is egg salad sandwiches. Who's with me? Right? I can do almost everything, but there's something about egg salad sandwiches that I'm just like, oh, like I just can't. And we have, Cassie and I, we really believe in like wherever it is that you go, whatever it is that God has deemed fit to put on your plate, you grin and you bear it and you do your best, right? And so if you're here today, I want you to hear my heart, all right? You may forget this sermon 3 or 4 years down the road, and you may make me egg salad sandwiches, and I will eat those things. Right? And I will thank you for the delight and the opportunity to eat that egg salad sandwich. But in my heart, God knows that I'm doing it because I truly believe in honor and respect, not because I'm delighting in the things that are entering into my body. But church, this is the position that God would have us take to. Every opportunity, even as Lily said, you know, you may feel awkward. You may not know the words to speak. You may not know what it is that you're supposed to say or how to convince someone of the gospel. It is actually God's faithfulness more so than the words that you will speak that he's looking for. Right? It's your heart in that situation, the desire to see God be made great, more so than what it is that's taking place. And especially if you're here today and your circumstances are not exactly what it is that you would like them to be, or maybe you're here and you're expecting a miracle and you're really believing for a miracle, well, I want to tell you that at the end of service, we have an incredible prayer team that will join you in believing and waiting on that miracle. We are a church that believes that God can work in the miracle. Miraculous. But we also want to establish that we are a church whose heartbeat is after God, no matter what it may look like. If it's steak dinner or egg salad sandwich. Church, may our hearts run after the Lord. And this is something that can be said of Elisha. Elisha was someone who not only saw Elijah's incredible ministry take place, but Elisha was one whose heart was hungry for the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 21. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen, this being Elisha. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and their boiled flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. As Elijah is brought into this situation where he first meets Elisha, he calls him to follow him. And we'll see this played out, as we've already read in Heartstrong, as Jesus approaches his 12 disciples, and church, as Jesus approaches each and every one of us as well and says, "Come and follow me." Not only are we invited into a moment of salvation, not only are we invited into a moment where our sins can be forgiven, but church, I want to encourage you today, maybe as a reminder, maybe as a refresher, or maybe just to absolutely blow your minds today, but when God spoke into your life and said, "I love you, will you give me your life?" He was not just inviting you into a moment of really, really cool and special feelings. He was asking you, "Will you give your life to me? Will you surrender to me? Will you acknowledge that my son died for you on the cross, that I rose him again on the third day, that your sins can be forgiven, that the prison doors can be flung open, that those shackles that have been holding you back, God has the power to break them, but not just so that we can feel good in the moment, not just so that we can have that emotional encounter with him, but it's actually God inviting us to follow after him all of our lives. He says, "Will you acknowledge who that I am, who I say that I am? Will you repent and turn from the things of this world? But also, will you follow me?" This is exactly what Elijah was challenging Elisha with, and he understood the challenge. He sees this prophet come, and Elijah does this incredible thing where he places his cloak upon Elisha, and it's this symbol of the passing of anointing. Elijah will continue to demonstrate this as Elisha follows him and he raises him up, and we see Elijah just literally, even before it's Elisha's time, saying, "This is the next prophet." Elisha turns to him and says, "Please let me go and I'll kiss my mother and my father and I'll follow you." And what is Elisha doing here? Well, he's doing this in order to show his allegiance. Elisha is shifting his allegiance in this passage from his family to Elijah. And he says to him, "Just allow me to go and I will do this." Actually, in just the verse previous in 1 Kings chapter 19 and 18, God actually uses the same worded, the same verbiage as he says to Elijah, "Go and find Elisha." Listen to this, because Elisha has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah is being pointed to Elisha, saying, God is saying, "Listen, I know Elisha's heart. I know who it is that he is following. He is hungry and he is close to me and he wants to see the entire nation know who I am. He will follow and he will listen. Go, I have chosen him already." We must see it from God's perspective as he's speaking. It's God's viewpoint, this closeness in worship that Elisha has that allows him to be chosen for such a time as this. In a time in the nation of Israel where servitude to Baal or to Yahweh are up in the air, God knows Elisha's heart. He says, "Elisha is ready to follow. Elisha is ready to serve. He is ready to submit to my life." One of the ways that I've had Elisha's story described to me is as that of a life or death situation when it comes to water. Now, if you've ever taken your lifeguarding course, or if you're like me and you've watched a lot of other young people taking their lifeguarding course, because you would never want me to step into that situation. I'm good on my own, but that's about it. But in those lifeguarding courses, as I've watched, as my sons have been taking their own swimming lessons, and all these teenagers are trying desperately, as awkward as they are, to save each other's lives, right? It's so fun. It's a great time. Like, I just love teenagers. They're the best, all right? If you're here today and you're in high school, you are the best. There are so many awkward situations that you're invited into, but I just want to just take a moment and tip my hat for all the teenagers that step into those awkward situations and just try to do your best. That's awesome. We have things to learn from that because, spoiler alert, we feel it too, right? We've just had years of practice in how to masking the awkwardness of it all. But you'll see in these moments of these lifeguarding situations, one of the things that they'll tell them is, as you're approaching someone in order to save their life, you need to make sure that they are ready to submit to what it is that you're about to help them into. So if you're approaching a life or death situation in the water, and you know, you have your lifeguarding training, you've done your bronze med, you've done all of that, and you're approaching someone who looks like they're struggling, if they're flailing around and all these, the lifeguards will tell you, instead of entering in yourself, throw them a life preserver, right? Give them something that they can grab onto so that it's not you. But it's actually in those moments, as you tell them, listen, be calm, and you walk them through that, in those moments where they stop flailing around, that's when you can actually enter into that moment. And God is saying about Elisha, he's saying, he is ready. He's ready to trust me. He's ready to follow. Elisha, just like Elijah, is willing to walk into situations that many would say, I don't know if I can do that. Elisha is prepared to say, I don't know if I can, but I know that God will. So these three things we know about Elisha through his story. Number one, he is not bowed to Baal. He knows God and trusts him. The second thing is that he is doing what he's always done. God sees. We saw this in King David's story as well, right? All the brothers were brought to the prophet Samuel, and he went one by one, you know, judging by looks and height and demeanor and all these things. And God said, no, not them, no, not them, no, not them. And finally, as Samuel got to the end of the line, he looked to David's dad and he says, is there not any other boys in your family? David's father responded, yes, there is one, and he's tending the flock. My favorite thing about David's story is that after he's anointed as king, he goes back to being the shepherd, right? God continues to trust him in those moments. Here, Elisha is actually taken from tending these oxen and immediately placed into his calling. But God sees what Elisha has done, that is that he has been faithful in the little things, and now God is ready to trust him with the big things. The third thing that we read here is that he is also ready to abandon his home, his livelihood, in order to follow the Lord. Our God is the God who saves. Luke's biography contains a very similar story when it comes to the person of Jesus, seeing that Jesus will actually challenge those who want to follow him in much the same light. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, it says this, as they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus turned to him and said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their dead. But as you go, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, as we read through the stories of Jesus challenging those who would follow him, we can read them in one of two ways. They're either helpful or they're unhelpful. The unhelpful interpretation suggests that Jesus is actually trying to make it very difficult for people to be able to follow him. But the helpful interpretation is that in love, Jesus is honest about what it truly means to surrender your life to him. Jesus is honest and he's forthright, speaking not to their statements and to not what it is that's coming out of their mouths, but speaking to the allegiance that's in their heart. Jesus knows our heart. As these individuals speak, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus speaks to them and says, okay, follow me, but let that be the end of it. As he encourages them to follow him, they come back with these ideas of all of these things that they need to go and do first. Elisha is actually coming from this completely different position. It's not things that he needs to go back and take care of. It is literally Elisha saying to Elijah, I am ready right now. Let me go and kiss my father and my mother because I am ready to separate myself completely from that life. Not only that, but before I even go and do that, all of these ox, all of these cattle, all of this, we are going to sacrifice them onto the Lord so that I'm not even going to have anything to return to. This is where Elisha and his heart begins to come through, is that we see in Elisha this deep desire not only to take care of the things that he needs to take care of, but to actually commit full-heartedly to this separation from who he was to who God is calling him to be. As he follows in Elijah's footsteps, all of this will continue to become more and more clear to him. But from the very outset of his mission, from the very outset of his calling, Elisha is saying, God, wherever you go, I have nowhere else. Nothing to fall back into, nowhere else to go. How many of you are so thankful today that when God steps in those moments of salvation, that is literally the transformation that he's doing in our lives? Come on, right? When God steps in, it's not just that moment of salvation. It's not just that moment of repentance. It is a complete undoing of all of the weapons, of all of the attack, of all of the sin, of all of the guilt, of everything that the enemy has tried to weigh you down before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He has done a new thing. In that moment that you profess that Jesus is who he says that he is, that you declare not only in your heart and in your mind, but in your very soul that you will follow him, our Bible tells us that God will clothe you in righteousness, that you are holy as he is holy, that he calls you your own, not just as a verbiage, but actually because he has adopted you into the kingdom of the Lord. Church, this morning, you are sons and daughters of the living God. Not because of anything that you did, but because just like when Elijah was calling to Elisha, so God has done with you. And this is the question for us today, is to say, God, have I wholeheartedly given my life over to you? Are there still things in my past? Are there still things in my life where I have cherished them or elevated them or placed them either in equal or a higher standing than you are? Church, I encourage you this morning, God is not interested in being second. Hello? God is not interested in being second. He is first, and he stands alone. He is first, and he stands alone. Your job is a gift from the Lord, but it should never supersede him in the placement of your heart. Church, this morning, you have a family. What a gift that God has given us, but we should never value that above our relationship with the Lord. This church is incredible. Again, I say this probably every week. I'm just going to keep saying it. You have no idea how many times I literally find myself in conversation being like, yeah, but Kanata Life Center, I'm telling you, there's something, God's doing something there. And I begin to just have faces and names rolling through my head of like, man, if you came and experienced what I have been able to experience over the last 2 years, it becomes very easy to call this place home. But it's not to place you on a pedestal, amen? It's not to lift up the position that God has called me into. It is literally to say, God, what are you doing? How great are you, Lord? Every good thing that comes from this place is because of the Lord. Right? Every story, every testimony, every celebration moment, heart conference, all of it is wrapped up and is presented to the Lord as a thanksgiving offering to say, God, thank you for what you've called us into. Thank you, God, for what you've invited us into. And so because you are who you say that you are, because you have called us, God, we will surrender it all. And so this is the challenge for us today, church. Where's our heart? As God is calling us into a city that doesn't know him yet, are you ready? Are you ready to hear everything that's taking place in the news and proclaim, not just with your words, but in your heart, yeah, but God is in control. Amen. Amen. Oh, somebody needed to hear that today. Come on, somebody needed to hear that today. And maybe it's not even for you in this room. Maybe it's for us to take it out of this place, to remind everybody as all of these things are taking place in the world that he who made the world sits on the throne today. God is in control. And no matter what it is that we see with our eyes or hear with our ears, may our hearts be situated to be reminded that he who sits on the throne of mercy and grace, who set us free, is still in control. The lies of the enemy do not prevail. Maybe you're here this morning and you're praying for a loved one. And everything that they do and that they say would stand in direct contrast to what it is that you're believing for. In your heart, can you proclaim, but God is in control. One of the most incredible recollections that I have, and I was just reminded of this yesterday. My parents came down to visit me and to watch Sawyer play hockey and celebrate Miles's birthday. And as we were sitting there, I didn't tell them this because I didn't want to cry in front of my parents. So, you know, we'll just tell you guys here and we'll see if I make it. This is better. But I remember just sitting there and just giving thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks to the Lord, because without him, none of that is possible. I went downstairs and began to go over this message and hit this point of the sermon and was just reminded of one of the most incredible miracles that I've ever seen in my life. Was when I wasn't following Jesus at all, I was actually living a very, very dark, dark, dark life. And I remember walking through our living room and my mom was kneeled over one of our chairs and I could hear her whispering my name. And I got so mad. As my mom was praying for me, I did everything I could to pull her out of that prayer and remind her that whatever it was that she was praying was not going to happen. With anger, with venom, with words that I cannot repeat from a microphone this morning, I told my mom how foolish she was to be praying to a God that had no hold on me. When I gave my life finally back to the Lord as he called me home, I was able to tell my mom, you know, your prayers, although I hated them, made a huge difference. Church, I want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that people will come and challenge you on in your faith or where it is that they'll challenge you in who God is or how can he do this or what's going on, one of the most incredible things that you can do for people who don't know Jesus yet is pray and believe. To speak life and encouragement. Young people, if you're here today, I challenge you tomorrow at high school to go into your schools and just speak 5 nice things over the people that pass you in the hallway. Unfortunately, we live in a time where encouragement and calling good things out in each other are hard to come by. But church, can you hear it from the Lord today? Can you hear him calling you warrior, beloved, his own, cherished, more than conquerors? Can you hear him this morning speaking life over your situation? Don't give up hope. Hold on tight. Plug into the vine. Can you hear him speaking new things, new fruit, goodness, gentleness, patience, kindness into every situation, saying, hey, as you become more like me, they also will see me in you. This is the God that we serve. So pray and believe, because this is who we are. We are a people that have been called by God, just as Elisha was tending a field and an ox. And you may be here this morning saying, I don't have the qualities to walk into my workplace tomorrow and watch each and every person come to salvation. True, but God has called you just the same. I don't have all the Bible knowledge. I don't know the scripture well enough. I haven't gone to enough Rooted nights yet. You know, we're still in the middle of the course. Maybe at the end of Rooted Church, I want to encourage you. God is calling you today. to hear his voice. He's calling you and saying, will you follow me wherever I will go? And may our answer be just as Elisha was. God, let me follow you and leave nothing back. To God be the glory. Church, let's pray and believe for our family, for our friends, for our loved ones. Let's pray and believe for our neighborhoods, for our workplaces. Let's pray and believe for our city, for our country. Let's pray and believe for countries around the world, that this entire globe, just as we've sang today, that creation itself is yearning and crying out for its redemption. May it not be with wise and persuasive words, but may it be with our whole heart dedicated to the Lord that we see him move afresh across this city. In just a moment, I'm going to call Lily up to close the service. But before we do, hearing what it is that God sees in you, the encouragement that he wants to speak over you. There's also the other side of it, is that God knows our heart. Amen? There may be things today that even as we're speaking and as we're sharing, that God is beginning to just point out in your own life. There's something that's taken his place or stepped into your priority list where it's not supposed to be. Maybe you're here this morning and there's unrepentant sin. Maybe there's situations where you're saying, listen, I want to follow God, but there's things in my life that are holding me back. Church, God wants you to be free in Jesus' name. To walk afresh out of this place, holy as he is holy, but not to go and walk out of this place alone. That you would hear, not just for me, but my prayer is that before you leave this place today, that you would hear from one another that God is on the move in this world, that God is moving afresh. Do you know how many young women were at Heart Conference just last weekend? There were over 200 young ladies, right, from ages like grades 4 all the way up to 18. That engaged in Heart Conference, and I have heard over and over and over again how incredible it was to see them there, how involved they were, how deep they were in worship. And I want to encourage each and every one of you today, God is doing something in the next generation. I don't know what it is that he's doing, but he is stirring a heart and a love for God. And beloved, if you're not a part of the next generation, he's doing something in us as well. There is a fresh fire for Scripture that God is birthing in this place. There is a deep desire that God is placing in this place, that people will truly be free, that addictions would walk into this place and die at the door, that anxiety would be gone in Jesus' name. There is a belief that I hear it every single week from individuals, not just praying for freedom from depression, but declaring that depression will no longer have a foothold in people's lives. Church, I want to encourage you today that there are people taking faith steps that even they can't believe that they're taking. But if you're here today and you're being asked to take the first step, can I encourage you, just as Elisha was encouraged, that as Elijah placed his cloak on Elisha's shoulders, God is calling to you today and his hands are on your life. So let's pray this morning. A prayer of transformative heart. Thank God he got us up early today. Because I truly believe that there is a lot in store for us in this place. This is the day that he has made. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder, God, that you are the one who calls. I thank you for the reminder, Lord Jesus, that you're not looking for all of our gifts and our equippings, but God, that you are truly speaking over who we are to our very core. God, you see our heart. You see the things, Lord Jesus, that we're hungry for. You see the things, Lord God, that we thirst for. You see the things, Lord Jesus, that bring encouragement into our lives. Lord, you have placed all of those good desires there. So Lord, we dedicate our lives to you afresh today, God. Lord, call us into every corner of this city. Call us into every corner of the surrounding area of Ottawa, Lord Jesus, that people would know afresh today who you are. God, as Elisha turned from everything that he had known to follow Elijah, Lord, I pray that that would be our heart position today, Lord. God, we are thankful for the blessings that you have given us. God, we are thankful to live in a country like Canada. But Lord God, we do not elevate any of the things of this world over who you are. So God, I pray in our own lives right now, Lord Jesus, that you would reset our priorities, God, that we would be reminded today, God, to set our hearts on you, to follow after you with everything that we are. God, I pray fresh salvation across this place. God, I pray that we would begin even today, Lord Jesus, to enter into an unprecedented time in the history of Life Center Kanata where we would see people giving their lives to Jesus every single week, God. Lord, I pray that at youth on Friday, Lord Jesus, at junior high on Sunday morning, in the midst of Life Kids, that we would hear of the declarations that people are making, God. I pray that this would be a place, Lord Jesus, where sin would come to fall off like shackles being broken, God. I pray that this would be a place, Lord Jesus, where your name would be just elevated and worshiped and adored, Lord God. I pray that you would truly set, Lord God, like a stamp on our hearts, Lord Jesus. That your name, Lord God, would be a lamp unto our feet. God, for those in this room today, their hearts are hungry to follow you, but their circumstances seem heavy. Lord God, for those in this room today whose hearts would say, God, I want to go wherever it is that you want me to go, but it feels like I'm wearing cement on my feet. God, I pray that you would speak. God, I pray that you would speak this morning. Freedom in Jesus' name. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that there would be blessing that would be brought. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, for anyone whose heart, Lord God, is desiring to follow after you, but their steps are taking them in the wrong direction. God, I pray today that you would reset, Lord God, and reignite, Lord God, and draw them, Lord God, once again to that narrow path that leads to you. God, allow us to take what it is that you've given us, just like that kid with the small loaves and the small fish. God, we present to you today, God, what little we have, knowing that you can do so much more. God, I thank you for Elijah, for the example that he set for Elisha. God, I thank you for each generation that calls Life Center Kanata home. Lord, may we run the race that has been set before us. God, for the generation following in behind, Lord God, we take our cloaks, Lord Jesus. God, we take these batons, Lord God, and we speak to the heart, Lord God, of each and every person that is here today, whether in person or online. God, we speak to the heart and we call out the name of Jesus in each one. God, for those who are journeying in darkness, we speak light. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.